How do you get your experts to open up and divulge information normally sold in ebooks or delivered at conferences for money?
People love talking about themselves. And when you're an expert at something and you have a chance to talk about yourself and your expertise, and you know that there's thousands of people who are going to listen to it, and they know that this potential exposure can generate them more sales or more clients or a deal or whatever they're selling, they want to open up. And I think if you just ask the questions that maybe most people are afraid to ask, you'll be surprised at what people answer, especially after you get them going. You know, when someone starts talking about themselves and they're 40 minutes into the interview, they're forgetting. They don't even realize they're being interviewed. They're in a trance, you know, hearing the sound of their own voice. It's really interesting. But it's amazing if you're willing to listen what people will tell you about. And if you're willing to listen and you're genuinely interested and you've got the guts to ask the questions that other people may not want to ask, they'll tell you anything you want to know. And if there's something that may be borderline, you can say, you know, I've asked questions where they're not willing to tell me. I go, well, you know, you can't blame me for asking. You know, a good interview will ask the questions that no one else really wants to ask. But there is a fine line. You don't want to push it. And it all depends what is the reason for your interview. What kind of interview is this for? Is it a marquee interview where you have the big name so you want to say, I interviewed Robert Kiyosaki? Is that your goal, or is it an interview, you know, where you're trying to sell something? So asking maybe the super hard, tough questions may not really further what you're trying to do anyway with it.
Do you have a template of questions to start with and build the audio interview questions around, and could you share it with us?
I don't really have a template unless I've pulled my list and said, I'm going to be interviewing this expert. Please submit the one question that you want to ask him, and I'll ask it on your behalf. That'll be my template, the questions. And these are my favorite, and they're the easiest to do. I really don't have to think much. I have all the questions in front of me, and they come from my list, and it's what the list wants to know, and I'm just doing my list the favor and just getting the answers to the questions that they want. That is the easiest way to go. If you're considering doing interviewing, you don't even really have to think. You just got to read the question and ask it and listen.
If I don't have a targeted list to email to, how can I use audio interviews to develop a list and make money with it?
You could do it the same way I've done it. You could start doing interviews and producing and collecting them and creating an information product on a certain subject, and you can approach other people who have a list but don't have products or who'd be willing to promote your collection of audio interviews, your products. And that's one way you can build a list of buyers, and you can start that way. That would probably be the fastest way. Another way would be to buy your advertising, to buy Google AdWords to direct people to your website. You could use one of the interviews as a free interview, and you can say at the end of the interview, if you like this interview, I've got 9 more with these experts, and then you can send them to a web page and sell that as well. So there's all kinds of ways to do it, even if you don't have a list. So now we're back to questions about email subject headlines. Do questions work best for open rates in the subject line?
They can in some cases, and in some cases they won't. This goes back to email not being like a static web page that you keep sending people to. It's my opinion, and this is just based off probably writing several thousand emails, certainly at least a few thousand emails over the last couple of years. You have to keep it interesting and different. If you send every email out with a question subject line, that's going to get old really, really quick to people. I'm not saying you could never get away with that. I'm just saying, generally speaking, that you kind of want to keep it mixed up and interesting. Think of those variety pack cereal boxes you get. You know, you can get like 5 or 6 different kind of cereals in those little boxes, or you can get a big box of, you know, Fruit Loops or something. People tend to like the little variety things. They like something different every day. They want to have an adventure. Every day should be like, gee, what is this one going to be about? Man, what's he got cooked up for me today, or what's she up to today? And if you write a question for every single subject line, that could ruin that effect. So I do think it's a good way to do it, and especially if you can make it very curiosity-provoking, but don't overdo it. I'm very cautious to give advice on some of these things because I don't want people to just take something and say, oh, that's how you do it, and they're going to do it with everything. You don't want to look at it that way. You always want to be playing and experimenting and having fun with this. There is no right or wrong answer to any of these questions.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. Yeah, it's like, you know, you like ice cream, so, you know, ice cream for dessert tonight would be really good, but ice cream for dessert tomorrow night would be pretty good, but not as good as last night, and ice cream for dessert a third night in a row, it's going to start getting old. It's the same.
are watching the exact same episode of a TV show every day. It might have been entertaining the first time, maybe the second time, but you gotta be paranoid about this stuff. You know, if you bore someone just one time, that could be it. You could lose a buyer.
Alright, what's the best source for new headlines that you've ever found?
I don't know if this is the best source, but I have found it very useful. And if you go to the Yahoo's homepage, you'll see these little teaser news headlines. Some of them are really stupid, but some of them are actually surprisingly good, and I've actually gotten a lot of inspiration just from them, just adapting those to whatever I'm writing about on a specific day. So I think Yahoo actually is just the front page. You'll see it right there. It's a great way to do it. Or DrudgeReport.com is another one, which is very widely read. I think it's the most read news website in the world. You know that they're using headlines that are tapping into people's interest. You can also play around with some of those headlines, too.
CNN Money headlines aren't too bad either.
They're pretty good. They tease you. They're good at teasing you, these people.
Yeah, so look to some of the biggest publishers out there and take a look at their headlines, their daily headlines, and just adapt. Take them and adapt. So there's so many ideas for headlines. You know, Amazon, go look at the titles of some of the best-selling books on a certain category. Look at those headlines. You should never have to be struggling for new headline ideas. How do I grab a person's attention with a subject line without being dismissed as spam?
Now there's two answers to this. The first answer is to get to the point where you are a welcome guest and they're not even looking at your subject line. They're just looking at your name and opening it. Oh, it's from Michael Sunup. I'm opening it. Yeah, the subject line helps and all that, but really they're opening it every day because of you. But besides that, I'm going to give somewhat controversial advice here. In fact, I tried to write an article about this, what I'm about to say, on easingarticles.com, and it got rejected because they thought I was crossing a line here. So take this however you want, but I think you should look at your spam for ideas for subject lines. And I'll tell you why. Now, most spam is obviously spam. You don't want to copy that. But every now and then, there's a very good chance you're going to get spam that you thought was legitimate just by the subject line. The subject line is so good and was just so interesting and did not look like spam that it got you to open it, and yet it was spam, and you didn't even know who the sender was. That is a subject line that you want to take and dissect. And I actually once wrote an email about all these subject lines I got, and you want me to call some of these up and read them?
Yeah, do it.
So the subject line I used for the email was cool open rate stats. Now, that does not sound like a spam at all. In fact, that sounds like something I would get from a colleague or from a list I'm on, just because of the market I'm in. I mean, Michael, if you got an email that said cool open rate stats, that wouldn't sound like spam to you, probably.
No, not really.
You're almost like you're into email. You kind of want to know. So I actually used that as the title of my email for that day. And then what I did is I listed some that I thought were kind of interesting. The ones that actually got me to open, I save them. And here's some of the ones. A clearly good marketing plan. That was the subject line I got. I mean, that does not sound like spam. I mean, to someone in a business or an entrepreneur, that's actually interesting. Another one was subject lines, colon, tell, don't tell. Now, anybody interested in email would probably open that. Another one was when your video is not viral. People who are interested in video or marketing or that sort of thing and understand viral thing and they want to know more about it probably would open that. Another one was dumb it up, people. You know, that sounds like an email subject line I would actually come up with. Something sort of dumb it down, I would say dumb it up just for a contrast effect. Another one, podcasting is easier than you think. Another one was a gentle step into Web 2.0. And then the last one was the SEO wrapper, R-A-P-P-R, like a wrapper. So I'll admit it, I opened those. I didn't buy whatever was in it. It was probably just stupid spam or whatever. But the point is if you get spam or any kind of junk mail that normally you wouldn't open, but it just said something that just appealed to you, you know, open that up and just, you know, dissect that subject line and see if you can't use it for what you're doing. In a way, you're using spam legally to help sell stuff with.
What words should I use in my subject line that will make the email a must-read for readers? For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Sunup's hardtofindseminars.com.
This is going to vary on your list and your market. There's things I can say to my list that will turn off your list and vice versa. There's this author, Dale Carnegie, wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I think he said something that really sums this up, and I hope that throughout this call we've been kind of getting this through everyone's head. I mean, it took a while to get through my head, so it's not like I'm making fun of anyone, but I might like strawberry shortcake. That may be a very good meal to me, but when I'm going fishing for catfish, it makes a terrible bait. They want worms and stinky cat livers or whatever. And it's the same thing when you're email marketing. What words would work for my list is irrelevant to what will work for your list. It really just depends on your market and how well you know it. get in their world. Find out what word they respond to. For example, if there's magazines that they read, and this won't always be the case at every market, but if there's magazines they read, look at the cover headlines that are appealing to these people. Like you were saying before, look at the Amazon book bestseller list. I mean, those titles are obviously being bought. I'm not saying to use those titles word for word necessarily, but they're tapping into something. Another really good place to get good verbiage for your subject lines is if you look at the reader reviews of books that have sold in your market. And in fact, this is something that people who do freelancing can save them a lot of time. If you're trying to learn a new market that you're not familiar with, go to the best-selling books in that market and read all the user reviews, the negative ones and the positive ones. And you will see what these people complain about. You'll see the exact words they use. I mean, it is the biggest shortcut to learning the stuff you'll ever have. But do it with your own market, too. You might find interesting term or phrases that you can use in your emails, in your subject lines or in the body or whatever, and just start making a note of all these things, maybe even write them down, and just start using those. I think that's a good way to start with that.
On average, how many email headlines or subject lines do you write out before you decide on the one you will use?
You know, some days I start with the subject line. I already know what it's going to be. Most days I don't. Most days I have to write the email first, and then I try to figure out a subject line from there. Sometimes I only have to write one down. Sometimes I have to write 5 to 10 before I'm happy. My personal goal is to not spend more than 15 to 20 minutes on an email. So I'm always in a hurry because I'm a big believer in the concept that money is attracted to speed. And that if I spend an hour on an email, I may not make much more money than I would if I spent 20 minutes on that email. So again, this is one of these things where you kind of have to weigh it against what the benefit is to how much time you spend in something. If you're sending out an email and you're going to be doing a launch or a special sale or you really want to make a sale of something, you might want to spend a lot more time than I would spend on a subject line. I've done that before, and you may even want to do some split testing. But if you're just doing daily emails just to get something out there and then so you can move on with the rest of your day, I don't really see any reason to obsess over. Just try to do your best, get something down, and you'll find out by the way the market responds to your email if it was a good subject line or not. I mean, if you get a lot of sales, then you know probably got a lot of people opening it. Now, this is where testing open rates can actually come in handy. Play around with different subject lines and words and all that sort of thing, but there's also a seasonal aspect of subject lines that I think people should take into consideration. If I write an email about the Grinch's marketing secrets, that's going to get probably a lot more opens during the Christmas season than it would in July. So my point is a subject line that doesn't work today might do better tomorrow. You just don't know. That's about as detailed an answer as I can give you on that because it really just depends.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, that's taught in publicity. I'm sure Paul Hartunian teaches that when you're sending out press releases. You know, the headline of your press release, which is equal to the subject line of your email really is a little press release to your list. And tying it in to events where you can piggyback off of news. You know, if you had the subject line with the word Egypt in there, with all the stuff that's going on over in the Middle East, or you tie into the State of the Union address with Obama from last week, you're piggybacking off of all that publicity, all that news, that all the news media outlets and Reuters and all that has spent a lot of money and a lot of effort getting out to the public. That could also help your open rates as well. So that's a good strategy, piggybacking on news and holidays and things that everyone knows is related to a certain time of the year. Then what email headlines do you use the most to get the person who receives the email to open it up? I myself erased most of the emails I receive. I wonder why do your emails, Michael Senoff, hardly ever get erased from my email inbox? What's the magic formula?
The reason that person is not erasing your emails is because he already knows, likes, and trusts you. This goes back to he's probably not always even caring too much about the subject lines at that point. You're already that welcome guest. If you have a good friend and he stops by your house, in some cases he can just walk in and you're not going to care. When that person was a stranger, he has to knock on the door first and try to tell you why he needs to come in for whatever reason. This is how it is with email, too. If you're already a welcome guest and a friend to that person in their mind, they're at least probably going to open your email, maybe scan it. They may not read every word of it. They may not even care about it one way or the other, depending on what they got going on that day. But I would assume that guy is at the point where he just trusts you and likes you, and he wants to hear from you.
And because the guy opening my emails, there's something in it for him. There's some kind of value. There's something he's getting out of those emails other than entertainment, or it may be something that I'm teaching. It may be access to a resource. It may be something he's learning. So what's in it for your reader? When you're sending out your email, is there something in it for them? Is there a reason why they should open? What's the prize when they open that email? All right. How do you test your headlines?
The way you can test your headlines is you got to have a big enough list. We already talked about that. I mean, if you have a small list of 500 people and you're testing your headlines, you're not going to get a statistically relevant thing, especially when you consider that not everybody's opening your emails. I'm not saying it's a total waste of time, but you're not going to get a real test result as if you had like 10,000 emails going up. So really what you can do is you take your list, take 1,000 people or 2,000 people, just depends how many you want to test, take another 1,000 or 2,000 people, make it the equal amount, send one email with one subject line to one side of the list. Take the same email but a different subject line, send that to the other 1,000 people. Track the sales and see which one brought in the most sales. If you're tracking opens, which this, again, I track sales. I wouldn't even bother tracking which one gets most opens. Which one's getting the most sales? There's your winner. Now, if somebody wants to test just opens and they don't really want to test sales, they can do the same thing. You would just look at which one got the most open rates.
Why won't people opt out if they are not going to open or read emails they receive?
Probably because they're not reading them. They're just either deleting them on site, or those emails are getting shunted to a spam filter and they're never seeing it, or they signed up for your list with a little throwaway Hotmail account or something and they don't even know your emails exist. So they're not going anywhere, but they're not buying anything either.
Hi, it's Michael Senoff, and if you like what you've been listening to in this 10-part series with Ben Settle on email, I want to introduce an incredibly advanced system on selling that can be used in your one-to-one phone call conversations, in all of your email correspondence, and or integrated into your written sales letters. Go to www.hardtofindseminars.com/HHSOE.htm. Or you could just go to Google and search these words, the highest paid salesman on earth, and you'll find a link to an incredible product that will only enhance all your selling efforts, whether it's one-to-one phone conversations, emails, or in your sales letters. Check it out at hardtofindseminars.com/HPSOE.htm. That's the end of part 6. Please continue to part 7.